The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Growing up in the U.S. is like being submerged into a melting pot filled with so many beautiful cultures. And within those cultures come the hardships. In Identity Crisis, sit down with me to understand the true meaning and experience of growing up in the U.S., constantly being torn between the American and Arab cultures. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Identity Crisis. I'm your host, DJ Suzuki, and I just wanted to thank you guys once again for joining me for episode 5 and joining me on this journey to understand a completely different culture and the way things are done. So far, we've talked about many things like basics, religion and culture, different expectations between men and women, and mental health. And today, what I wanted to talk about is dating apps and matchmaking in the Arab world and how it's approached, because I'm sure people are wondering, or not. If you're not, it's okay, but I'm still gonna tell you. So I'm gonna say this from a standpoint of a Muslim person, a Muslim Palestinian person, just kind of how what the experience is like. So as you may know, or if you guys have seen the whole, there's like some jokes on TikTok where it's saying, with Ramadan approaching, gotta stop talking to my boyfriend or girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. It's a joke that people make, but the reason why is because in Islam and in our culture and religion, dating is actually not allowed. It's not of the culture, and things kind of go a little fast. Now, in the older days, the way marriages would go, and this still is pretty common, but in really conservative areas back home. Not as much here in the U.S. anymore, because things have just become a lot more modern, and I think parents are realizing that that does not cut it, because we actually like to get to know people that we're going to marry or get to know people that we want to be with for the rest of our lives. But essentially the way it would go is that, and I can even tell you that in some cities, the city actually that I'm from back home, basically someone will see a girl, will say, so say there's a party, a woman sees another girl and she is wanting to marry her son. They'll ask about the girl and they will go ask for the hand. And when you ask for a hand in marriage, it basically means, hey, I want to get to know you, because nothing becomes official until the marriage contract is written. And that's an Islamic marriage contract. So there's no dating and being a boyfriend, girlfriend type of culture in our culture, just because it's not really a part of our religion. But of course, with how modern our society has become, it's becoming a little more normalized to get to know the person and date them and then ask for the hand. But I wanted to dive into what the dating is like here in the US. So a lot of people, they we'll get to know people through, you know, as normal people date, they get to know each other through mutual friends, or they'll meet people at parties, weddings, etc. Now, with the new age of online dating, don't just think that Tinder and Hinge and Bumble were the only places that people were dating. The Muslim community made their own platform of dating, and there is multiple of them called Minder. That's, of course, Muslim Tinder. What is it? Baklava, I believe Salams. So all of these apps are mainly directed towards the Arab Americans who are Muslim. And essentially, it is a way to get to know someone in hopes of finding a future spouse. It's not something that's going to be similar to the culture of Tinder, or not pertaining to the hookup culture that is very common in the US. Now, I personally have been on those apps, and I can tell you from experience, it is hilarious. And I'm not saying it's a joke or anything, because I have seen some people really find their true love out of it, and it has allowed them to gain access to finding their true love. Because in reality, the place that, at least where I live, or at least the common Bay Area, is very spread out. And it's not going to be like Dearborn, Michigan, where there's a whole bunch of Arabs in one community. There's not many Arabs around. And if there are Arabs around, it's because you've known them your whole life. And they're kind of like childhood friends. So it's nothing new. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people succeed off of this whole dating app. And I'll just tell you the way it is. So the way that these apps are, in my opinion, I've approached a lot of people who lie about what they do in terms of, because there's some main questions on there. It asks you what religion you are. It asks you if you drink or smoke. And of course, drinking is a sin in Islam. And it'll ask if you smoke. And it'll ask if you pray and kind of how religious you are, what in terms of if you do follow the religion or not. There's this joke, actually, and it's called the haram to halal ratio. And haram means forbidden, and halal means the complete opposite. So they always ask, do you meet my halal to haram ratio? Because there are some people who don't really, they're not very religious, and they kind of want a partner who's the same way. Or there is someone who's very religious, and they want a partner who is very similar in that sense. So the first thing that I realized when I was on those apps is that a lot of people lie. They lie about what they do because they don't want to be seen as someone who is a bad person because they may have tried something before, or they have maybe experimented with something they weren't supposed to before. Because I've noticed that it's really easy to get judged on the app, especially when it comes to things that people want to be vulnerable about. And of course, when there are things that you want to be vulnerable about when really getting to know someone, being judged doesn't really help. So in my experiences, I've met many men who were either lying about what they do, lying about their actions, about what they've done. And I, just to preface, I don't judge and I don't mind. And I think that this world is full of so many different types of people and the different types of experiences. And I don't judge anyone on their experiences. Personally, I do feel like a lot of people go to the Muslim dating apps because they feel like it's the default and this is what their parents want. Because I'll just say it and be clear about it. Arab parents want their kids to marry Arabs as well. And someone can be in a full-on relationship with someone who's not in the culture. And the minute it ends, or if it does end, they'll immediately try to go to the dating apps to see if that's what their fate is and just try to fill the void and make their parents happy, which is, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. But I just feel like some people go on there because they're just trying to paint this picture that they're the perfect Arab, which is a little weird to me, in my opinion. I also do feel like in terms of women going on apps, that it's kind of unfortunate that some girls have to deal with the fact that trying to look for a husband or trying to look for a relationship that can go into marriage becomes like a chore to them. Because I'm just going to be very clear about it. Arab parents want their daughters to get married because they believe much in the ticking time of being able to start a family and have children. And the culture around marriage can sometimes get toxic. But thankfully, I haven't experienced that. And my parents are very chill about what I want to do and how I want to move with my life. But it can be difficult because it starts to become the main topic of your life. And that's the main thing that parents start to want. So a woman can be focusing on her career and doing really well. And say this woman is 27, 28, and the parents will still be like, well, you should really focus on trying to get married now, which is a little, it's very hard to hear. And I've seen people experience it. I want to mention what happens actually after you really meet someone. So let's say, okay, I was on the app, I met someone, we talked, we met, great. The minute that in a lot of cultures, and it depends on really where the headspace of the person is, this can move very fast and it gets very weird, very scary as well, very fast. Because to Arab parents, they're just doing what they know. You meet someone, you like them, you ask for their hand, and you use that period of engagement to get to know them, which is a little odd, I know. But it's just kind of the way we do things, because it's basically saying that you are dating under the eyes of God and you are getting to know each other in a non-sinful way, which I understand. But then this can move very quickly to where, okay, it's time to get engaged. And then the minute you get engaged, then they start thinking about kitab kitab, which is the writing of the marriage contract. And then it starts to go into a wedding plan. And then people get married. And then it doesn't work out after a year. And this is a big reason of they didn't get to know each other enough. And they determined it based off of this app. And that kind of tumbles me into the next topic of how high the rates of divorce have become in the Arab communities, especially with people who are 20 to 30 years old. And if you ask any Arab in the Bay Area, hey, have divorces been really high lately? They will tell you yes. And it scares us, the single ones who are not married or anything like that or engaged. And it makes us want to be like, hell no, I don't want to do the cultural way. I don't want to do it like that. I want to get to know the person. And then that, of course, that tumbled into many other cultural problems and cultural taboos. Now, I'm not saying that everyone gets divorced. I'm just saying that things move really fast. And especially when you're on these dating apps, people get tired of trying to find the perfect person. So they find someone, they think they click, and then it just becomes the cycle of if it's actually going to work or not. Because in a perfect world, in the real world, the way things go is that you date and you get to know the person before you marry them, because you are going to be living in the same house as them, living under the same roof as them. And I think marriage can be taken very lightly, especially coming from our parents. But the reality is that our parents came from an older generation and a lot of them immigrated. And I'll just speak for the women. The women were marrying the men. And in the older days, the men had a lot more control. And the women stayed home. They cooked. They raised the children. And thankfully, we do have more say and we have more responsibility nowadays to where it's not as simple as the way it used to be. But to be quite honest, I don't want this episode to come off as if I'm bashing on the online dating world, because I have heard a lot of people have successes using these Muslim dating apps. But I just think that the problem is people move in too fast with it. And the minute they start talking to someone, they instantly think that that's going to be their spouse or their partner forever. And things get too serious and people start to develop emotional relationships really fast. Because like I said, when people go on these apps, they're not expecting a hookup culture type of thing. They're going on these apps to really find someone that they want to be with and they can bring home and potentially make a spouse out of. So that's just the one thing that I have to say about that. And that is the end of episode 5. And I really appreciate you guys for listening in today on talking about the Arab dating world and kind of how it goes down. So hopefully you guys join me for the next episode, and it was great talking to y'all. Bye.